Indeed, it is your money. If I am your host, Josh Wheeler, I do not sound like Susie Jones, and boy, did they go to the bullpen. They went to the bottom of the bullpen for this one. Your host, Josh Wheeler, guiding the ship and giving you, bringing you your money today. If you do have a financial question for today's speakers, you can call this number 24/7, 365. The number 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. You can also call or text our studio line, 651-461-9226. And now, without further ado, here's the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor, Bruce Helmer, and senior vice president and financial advisor, Peg Webb. Good morning, you two.
Good morning, Josh. Good morning, Bruce.
Hi, Peg. Hello, Josh Wheeler. And Josh, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit here.
Oh, boy.
The listeners don't know, Peg, that Josh Wheeler is the brains, is the technological genius, the guru behind the scenes that does so much for the show on a weekly basis, does so much for Peg and I and for Wealth Enhancement Group. And today, listeners, you get to actually hear Josh's voice. But Peg and I know what Josh does for us on a weekly basis, but Peg, the public doesn't know, and I thought it was important that we point that out, what a crucial part of the show Josh has been for a long time.
I totally agree. He is a rock star at WCCO.
Funny, I was going to say rock star also. Josh, you're a rock star, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it.
Josh and listeners, Peg, today are going to talk about something. Peg, I think this is really a good topic, and it's applicable to a lot of people. We're going to talk about financial planning for small business owners. But first thing I want to mention is those of you out there listening, if you're not a small business owner, don't turn your dial, don't turn off the radio, because even though you might not be a small business owner yourself, 60 million of you out there work for small businesses. It's nearly 50% of our GDP. It's a huge part of our economy, Peg. And I think this is an area of financial planning that is largely going unserviced. So we're going to talk about some of the reasons, first of all, why small businesses should be doing financial planning. And then we'll talk specifically about some of the unique challenges to business owners. But, you know, part of the planning, Peg, that one might do or we might do for a small business, there's a lot of synergy or a lot of consistency with some of the same planning strategies that we might use for an individual, even if they don't own a small business, which again means that I think everybody listening today can benefit from some of the things that we're going to talk about. But Peg, small businesses and planning or lack thereof, let's start there about how they're not doing planning and it's important that they should be. Peg?
Yeah, we have so much experience with small businesses, not only helping clients, and Bruce, you gave the statistics, how many small businesses are out there, but you and I also, through our decades of time, have had our own small businesses. So not only were we coaching clients on small businesses, we're all actually in the trenches doing it ourselves and know the pros and cons. But statistically, you know, a lot of these clients that come in or these prospective clients, they have no idea what the value of their business is. And they usually kind of think about it when they might want to sell it or transition it maybe to a family member. Because a lot of small businesses and the clients that we work with, they end up either the children tend to work there or their brothers or siblings or somebody like that. And then they want to take it over time. But why financial planning? Because many people come to us with already owning a small business. And a lot of times both of them are working and one might have a corporate job, which seems easier because they hand you kind of all these benefits that you can sign up for. Well, when it comes to small businesses, a lot of times the person leading that business has many, many different hats because there isn't 1,000 employees, right? They have to do multiple jobs. So one of the core reasons that financial businesses need a financial plan along with an individual plan is because the first thing they're doing is trying to have steady cash flow management. And a lot of times when you start a business, cash is king. I say no matter what you're doing, cash is king. But both in personal and business finance, you need some liquidity. It's very difficult for these small businesses to start saving right off the bat, right? Because they're plowing really every extra dollar that they have to get this up and running. And then finally, you turn into a profitable business. And sometimes that takes a while. And then you can start to look at what is the value of my business? And then after that, now you know your value. Now you have to manage your risk, right? You know, market fluctuations. How is the economy? You know, we're all thinking we've got the new president in and headlines every single day, major changes that we haven't heard for a long time. You know, these small businesses are sitting up listening with a keen ear as to how is this going to affect them. And Bruce, I'm glad that you mentioned it about how many millions and millions of small businesses out there that, you know, we talk a lot about on the show, the S&P 500. Well, those are the big guys, right? But next to them and very necessary are all these small businesses that not only create income for their family, but create jobs for, you know, millions of people nationwide. Bruce?
Yeah, a couple of things there, Peg, that I want to reemphasize. That's a really good beginning of our discussion. Thank you. But, you know, you mentioned that they don't know the value of the business. It's been estimated, or in fact, actually, you know, there's been surveys done, that 98% of small business owners don't know the value of their business. Well, I would think that's something that's pretty important that you should know if you're running a business. And I don't like to just throw a bunch of stats out on a program like this because people probably aren't writing things down or taking notes. They're just listening. So the numbers can get lost in the minutia. But just really quickly, 78% of these owners want to sell their business someday, but 60% have never met with a financial advisor or business consultant. So how do you go about doing that? You know, so I started out by saying that there's some similarities or some synergies between individual planning and business planning, and you kind of jumped right into it with the first thing, talking about cash flow. We talk about cash flow management in a small business, but if we were talking to an individual client that didn't own or work for a small business, we might talk about the same thing. How much emergency or rainy day money do you have? What's your income per month? What's your outflow per month? We're going to talk about those things individually as well as we do as you might with a business owner. And the other thing really quickly, Peg, even though we say this a lot on the show, I don't think we can say it too often. I think a lot of times when people think of financial planning, investing only. Investing is just one subset of comprehensive financial planning. So now if you're talking about business planning, you might say, well, they're not going to be investing. They need their money, like you said, you're going to pour it back into and improve and increase the value of the business and grow the business. We're not investing this money. But again, planning is not only investing. Planning is a lot of other things. We just started with one of the you know, first things that you need to do, and that's manage cash flow. And then obviously, Peg, they want to grow this business. They want to take this small business and make it bigger.
Yeah. Oh, everybody has a glorious plan, right? When they, I think a lot of people, they build their own business because they don't, the personality, and this is Peg Webb talking now. The personality is they don't really want to work for someone, right? They want to have their own, make their own decisions, build their own company. That actually is a unique type of person anyway that we meet often. When people come and visit us and interview us, if we would be a good partner for them, helping them not only their business planning, but also their personal planning, I find that they are kind of type A people and they want to, or they have a great idea, but yet they need help in how do I get this started? So the second point is integrating the business and the personal financial goals together, which I do believe most people see that separate. But once your personal goals of that business, you know, is it short-term stop-loss thing, and then you're going to go back into the corporate world? Is it actually you see decades ahead of yourself that you're building a business plan that's out there? And then goals are, you know, that you already mentioned at birth, you know, growth, profitability, succession planning. I don't believe that you can go anywhere without a plan. And a lot of people struggle with trying to create a vision of where this is going to go. But yet, if you want to start to find financing and maybe not finance this yourself, you literally need to have some kind of a blueprint of how you see this working and what the cash flow needs are going to be. And many, many people go to the bank first or their individual savings that they have. Then you start to become successful, and then you have to go get bigger lines of credit. The number one thing that I've witnessed is that when you go to these places that are going to borrow you money, they are thrilled when you have a vision and it's actually documented and how you see this going. The key takeaway here is, you know, if you can't do that by yourself, get a financial professional that can actually help you get clarity. And if you just sit down and tell that professional, here's my vision, you could utilize someone else that then is going to create that into a financial plan that then would lead to getting financing from outside your own bank accounts. Bruce?
Peg, you know, again, this is so funny to me because when I looked at the topic today, and we talk about this a lot that, with listeners, that we have kind of a basic outline, but then, you know, you and I, you know, freewheel it. We don't really ever know. I don't know for sure what's going to come out of my mouth from week to week. So we have a basic track to run on. But you just said something that really struck a nerve with me that I hadn't even thought of. It hadn't occurred to me until you said it. And you said you talked about, you know, we were small business owners. And part of our reason we are is that our personality is such that we didn't want to work for anybody. And that is totally true of me. And part of it is, I think I would have been a bad employee at a lot of places because somebody in charge of me or my boss or whatever would have told me what to do, and I wouldn't have liked it or wouldn't agree with it, and I would have revolted or been a problem. So I kind of had to start our own business because I would not have been good at working for somebody else. And then so that struck a nerve with me that you know, the topic today could easily be applied to us when we started Wealth Enhancement Group. And yeah, we were small. We started with 7 total employees back in 1996. I don't even know, Peg, how many people we employ today, but I do know, and I'm not bringing this up to be self-serving, but it might be interesting to listeners. I do know we recently hit a milestone as a company in that we've achieved $100 billion in assets under management. $100 billion from a company that started in 1996, 1997, with 7 employees and money under management. So we are kind of an example of what we're talking about today in terms of a small business starting and growing. But let's get back to some of the specific plan things. If we look at this like we're making a list, why we should be doing planning, I think item number one, as you mentioned, is managing cash flow. Number two is trying to grow or preparing for growth. Number three, and again, a lot of these things are applicable to individual planning, you got to manage risk. You can't afford to take a lot of chances and lose everything. You want to talk about risk management?
Yeah, so risk is involved in everything you do. And once again, I think a financial professional, both on the planning side and on the tax side, because I find that a lot of small business people, when they start out, they are not knowledgeable like us as to what can happen, what you need to do, especially filing papers with the IRS. My husband then had a small business, even though I was incorporated with your business and a small business. He decides to go on his own because it was easier for him then to take care of the kids, and pick them up from the bus, that kind of thing. So we had 2 things going, and the reason I brought that up is because he knew nothing about applying for what kind of corporation he should be, an S corp, a C corp, what should it be? He didn't know if he should, you know, save money inside the plan, meaning a retirement plan. So small business owners, and I see this with people that come to see us, they like to concentrate all their wealth in that business, but yet they're not preparing for the future like we are. Through a corporation now, I have the option of putting money in a 401k. I have the option of the company matching my 401k if I contribute. Well, when you're a small business and you're concentrated in that one asset, and that is your business, the first thing we do is once you have cash flow is try to coach you on creating wealth outside that business. And that might be tax deferred accounts. So setting up a 401k within your company. And a lot of times when you have employees, they're really going to kind of demand that at this point, because most people are educated about that. Roth IRAs, health savings accounts. My husband didn't know anything about anything with those types of plans, which he leaned on me. But yet I know the clients that I see, you know, and that have small businesses, they have to become educated on that or get somebody that's going to help with that financial plan and incorporate that as well. Bruce?
So a couple of additional thoughts. Again, I like where you went, Peg. So when you start a small business, one of the challenges is attracting and retaining good people to help you grow your business. So you have to provide benefits for them, like a 401k or some sort of retirement plan. And the other thing, the other word that struck me, Peg, as you were talking, is diversification. So a lot of small business owners, all of their net worth or almost all of it is in that business. Well, that is a lot of risk. And I remember back in the infancy stages of Wealth Enhancement Group, and then as we grew, I would over time sell some of my equity, not because I didn't believe in the ability to grow Wealth Enhancement Group, but because as a financial advisor, I would advise my clients that they need to diversify. Well, I wanted to follow my own advice. I didn't want all of my net worth all in my company, even though I had more control over that and I believed in that. But there's circumstances beyond your control in any business. You know, in 2008, the stock market fell 50%. We didn't have any control over that, but that obviously had an enormous impact on the value of our business. So diversification jumped out at me as you were chatting there. What else? We've got a couple, 3 minutes before we need a break. What else do you want to make sure that we hit on, Peg, with regard to financial planning tips for small business owners?
Well, a lot of the business owners, like you mentioned, they don't want to be 100% vested in their business. And hopefully along the way, they've been creating some liquidity outside of the business. But yet, then it gets to, you know, either your health or just the timing of your life. You have this instant wish now that you want out. And I'm telling you, a lot of times, not only corporate people, but also people who own their own businesses, they're just saying, okay, it is time. Well, you have to have a succession plan way before, you know, you're number one, not feeling well, or you just don't want to do it anymore. So trying to create a plan. I've seen more and more small businesses go to family members. We work with clients that say, okay, my two sons have been working here for several years, so I'm going to figure out a transition for them. And they come to us to coach them. Well, how do you do that? Like, you just don't hand it to them. Maybe you, you know, create shares of the company and you gift them that, or they purchase it. And so there's a lot of things that you can do. And then also working with a business plan, you've got to work with your tax person. A sale is not easy. Some people use the employee stock ownership plan to be able to sell ownership to employees over time before you leave. So there's a lot of choices that you have, but don't leave it to the last minute, Bruce.
I think that's one of the keys, Peg, is that to people out right now listening, if you own a small business or you're a key member of a small business, have you done planning? Have you thought about exit strategy? Have you thought about succession planning? Have you, you know, because if you wait till the last minute, you're probably going to, you know, there's always going to be problems or roadblocks or hurdles that you have to get over. You won't, it's never, just like we talk about, again, in individual planning, the time to start is right now. I don't care how old you are. If you have started to do it, now is a good time to do it. And that same thing, you know, applies to you if you're a small business owner. Hey, Peg, maybe there's one or two other points that we can hit on in the second half of the show, but I think we've only got about a minute left before I throw it back to Josh. I just wanted to mention again, and I can't even remember the last time we did this, you and I have a biweekly column in a couple of different papers, the Brainerd Dispatch, the St. Paul Pioneer Press. So if you actually want to see something tangible that you can read though on what we're talking about today, it's in this week, this week's edition of those papers. And we don't mention that often enough. It's biweekly, but this is the week that we're in the Pioneer Press and the Brainerd Dispatch. You can actually read our article about this, financial planning tips for small business owners. Josh, second half, we'll finish this discussion and we'll get listeners involved as well.
Sounds good. And again, if you have a question for Bruce and Peg, feel free to text in 651-461-9226. You can text the studio line or call. I'll punch it through and you can ask your question on air with Bruce and Peg. We'll be back more with Your Money on WCCO. Indeed, it is Your Money. Welcome back to this edition of Your Money on this Sunday, March 2nd, 2025. If you do have a financial question for today's speakers, you can call this number 24/7, 365 days, 1-888-6-ADVICE. That's 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can also email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. But for right now, you can call or text your text our studio line with your question, 651-461-9226. That, again, that is 651-461-9226. Now, here's the founder of Wealth Enhancement Group and financial advisor, Bruce Helmer, and senior vice president and financial advisor, Peg Webb.
Thank you, Josh Wheeler, and thank you, listeners. If you joined us late, Josh Wheeler is the unsung hero most weeks behind the show, the producer extraordinaire. Today you get to actually hear Josh's voice. Thank you, Josh, for sitting in. You're doing a great job. If you joined us late, Peg and I today have been talking about financial planning tips for small business owners. And the first thing we talked about is that there seems to be a void out there in terms of businesses doing planning. 60 million Americans are employed by small businesses. It makes up about 45% of our national economy, yet 98% of business owners don't know the value of their business. 78% plan to sell, but 60% have never met with a financial business consultant. So how are you going to do this? How are you going to plan for your future? We talked about some key reasons that business owners should have a financial plan. We talked about steady cash flow management, number one. Number two, we talked about preparing for growth. Number three, we talked about managing your risk. And then we talked about some of the things, the overlap between business planning and your business finances and your personal financial planning. And Peg, we're probably, you're going to close with that and talk a little bit about, you know, it's great to have a successful business. We applaud entrepreneurs that start a business. There's always going to be risk involved in starting a business. And we want, you know, it's a big part of our economy. We want to give these people every chance to succeed. But also, it's one thing to have a good business, but does that business lead to a happy, successful retirement with the lifestyle you want? And let's talk a little bit about that. And then before I throw it back to you, Peg, when we get listeners involved, I just want to announce the listeners, our questions, as always, do not just have to be on today's topic. We'll take any and all financial questions. So it doesn't have to be just on small business planning. But Peg, tie a bow around this topic, and then we'll get listeners involved.
Yeah, I think when it comes to business owners and then trying to create liquidity at the end, they've had a relationship with maybe a bank, some financial institution for cash flow, and most of the time they have a CPA that's doing the tax returns, that kind of thing. But still, what's missing in that partnership, if you will, is a financial plan. because what we see on the backside is people come to us and they mention it to us kind of late in the cycle. Like I mentioned earlier, they're frustrated. They're all of a sudden maybe have a health problem. And if you don't have a plan, then it's harder to just do that in the moment versus to be prepared. So our questions that we ask people is, you know, do you have, and a lot of times this is the introduction meeting, because people who have businesses come to us and ask for advice and have a consultation first, is do you have a plan for steady income for retirement? Well, self-employed people, sometimes they don't take a lot of income out of their business because they would rather keep it in the business and keep growing the business, but yet they're not funding their Social Security to the extent that they can because they're not showing as much income on their income tax. Well, then years later, when we look at their Social Security statement, they don't have that full Social Security. And maybe there's a reason for that. But in the long, years ago, people would actually have maybe just one person running that small business. And if you didn't fully fund Social Security, then you have a spouse that maybe didn't work outside the home or just help with the business some. Then if something happened to the business owner, there wouldn't be a whole lot of Social Security going to the spouse that's left. So there's strategies that you can do ahead of time. So the first question is, do you have a plan for steady income in retirement? Is your business wealth working for your personal future? Is there somebody out there that you could identify earlier that could come in and, you know, kind of clone you for some time to get the preparation? And once again, I have to tell you, most of the time, people will come and say, I've got to get out of this. Well, you know, you start to ask the questions, and there's some kind of health scare. And then it's not, you're mentally not as prepared to be able to make some big decisions. So I say earlier than later. And then the last one is, have you explored all your options when it comes to tax efficiency and diversification? I know everybody's so proud of their small business that they have and that they've built, but encouraging people along the way and earlier, sooner than later, try to diversify outside of that business. And I know small businesses take a lot of cash to get up and running and to keep going, but yet you have to almost force yourself to pull money out of there for tax efficiency down the road. And the successful ones are the ones that have done that and then have a long-term plan long after the business is either sold or shut down. So I just wanted to add that that little bit more, Bruce, about the end result of if you do planning, you're probably going to sleep better at night than if you haven't done a plan for your business at all. Bruce?
Yeah, well said, Pig. You know what, the bottom line is financial planning, whether it's for individual or for small business, it's really about preparing for the future. And a thriving business is a tremendous achievement that you should be proud of, but it's really only successful if it translates into lasting financial security. So a well-structured plan will protect what you've built, help you make the most of it. So it's very important to craft your strategy. And like you said, the time is now, better sooner than later. And again, support both your business and your personal financial goals and be able to walk away into the sunset at some point. Enjoy your retirement. All right, Josh, let's let listeners drive the show the rest of the way.
Absolutely. 651-461-9226. Let's go to Mary. She's in Minneapolis.
Good morning. Good morning. I have a question. I've withdrawn money from my Roth IRA, $4,000. And I'm wondering, where does that go on the in-tax form? Because the taxes have already been paid on the amount.
Hey, Mary, thank you for listening, and thank you for a really, really good question. And as I mentioned this, your questions, listeners, don't have to be on today's topic. And Mary, Peg is asking a really good question that's not on today's topic, but it's one that's probably applicable to a lot of listeners, a withdrawal from her Roth IRA. Peg?
Yes. So a Roth IRA is after-tax money that you have put into a plan, you've invested, and then the earnings on that money actually grows tax-free, provided that you've had that account earlier than if you had it 59 and a half or after, or if you opened it prior to that, you have to take you would then have to, if it's earlier, then you have to report it. But here's what normally happens is that 4,000, and I don't know what it's made up of. I don't know if the 4,000 is actually 2,000 that has grown to 4,000. But let's just say you put in $2,000 and it has grown in a Roth to 4,000. The 2,000 that you put in, that you've already paid tax on. So there's no telling the IRS about that at all. It's the growth part that the IRS needs to know. But they don't need to know if you followed those couple rules. And that is 59 and a half or held that for 5 years, then you don't have to report that. Bruce, can you just verify, because I'm going by memory there, if it's the 59 and a half in 5 years?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So, yeah, Mary, just to give clarity, and the gentleman wouldn't ask a lady how old she is, so I won't ask you, Mary, but if you're past the age of 59 and a half and you've had that Roth IRA for 5 years or more, there's no tax consequence at all to that withdrawal. But as Peg said, if you haven't fulfilled both of those obligations, and by the way, it's 5 years or 59 and a half, whichever is longer, meaning let's say you take your Roth IRA out at age 57, and then at 59 and a half, 2.5 years later, you go, oh, I'm 59 and a half. I can take tax-free withdrawals on all of this. No, you can't. You don't have 5 years into it yet. Or let's say you start your Roth IRA at age 40, and now you're 45, and you say, hey, I've got 5 years in. I can take tax-free withdrawals on my whole account from my Roth IRA. Well, no, you can't. You're not 59 and a half yet. So it's 5 years or 59 and a half, whichever is longer. And once you've gotten there, it doesn't matter what your contributions are, what your growth is. The entire withdrawal is tax-free. And that's really the biggest single advantage to the Roth IRA and why Peg and I are so bullish on this strategy. And Peg, I still think, I'll throw it back to you, I still think as much as we talk about it on this show, that in the world out there, Roth IRAs are not being utilized by people to the extent that I think they could be, should be. Are you still seeing that even after all this time and us talking about it all these years?
There's no question, because I think a lot of us were kind of raised to, if you can defer money and not pay tax immediately, and then have that money that you've invested compound over decades of time, even though you're going to have a big IOU to the IRS at the end, it kind of was brainwashed into us longer ago. And I still think people remember that. Like, why would I pay tax today and then grow my money? Well, we've witnessed it now on the backside, where people who are willing to diversify their taxes and not have all their savings in a tax-deferred account, especially when you retire, because once again, you have the IRS right on your back because you're going to have to pay every time you take a distribution out of there, diversify your tax investments and have some that is tax-advantaged, like a Roth IRA, and maybe just taxable, pay your tax on some money. And then when you retire, and this is the story we use all the time, is you want to go buy a car and the car is $40,000 and you want to go to your IRA that you've been deferring all this time, you need to pull out an extra probably 20% out and pay tax to buy that car. So now it's not a $40,000 car, you know, it's a $60,000 car because you didn't diversify your taxes along the way. Bruce?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And we've talked, we could do, and we have an entire show on the importance of tax diversification, and we will continue to talk about it frequently because we in the world that Peg and I live in, as much as we talk about it, we still see that for the most part, it's not being done the way that it should be. In fact, Peg, I've got my spring seminar series coming up here where I'll be out doing speaking engagements. And that is a big part of the presentation, again, where I'm going to talk about the importance of tax diversification. I think everybody listening understands diversification from an investment standpoint in terms of risk. You don't put all of your eggs in one basket. You have some cash, some stocks, some bonds, some real estate, and so forth. But most people still don't understand the importance of tax diversification. Mary, thank you for listening. Thanks for that great question. It is a great question because it applies to probably almost everybody listening. Josh?
651-461-9226. If you do have a question for Bruce and Peg, you can call or text that number. A texter writes, good morning. I have a few years left for retirement, and with our current situation in Washington, should I be moving all my retirement money to fixed investments so that I don't lose it and it's there for me when I retire?
So, Peg, this is, again, a situation where our politics sometimes get in the way of our logical decisions, and it happens on both sides of the aisle. If we don't like the person that won the election, we tend to be very negative. And if we do like the person that won the election, we tend to be very positive. Are you still getting a lot of these questions? This new administration is still pretty new, and some of the things going on are pretty dramatic. I assume you're still getting questions like this, texter, and like I am.
It pretty much is, no matter where I go, I'm getting these questions. If I'm on the golf course, if I'm with my family, if I go to happy hour with a client or something, they're all asking me, because how can we not, with, you know, media today and, trying to kind of dive into what's really going on? And right now, last week was a little rocky, right? So now we had a reset now of, you know, the values are probably just like January 1st when we started this year. But, you know, I'm hearing things from people that, oh, there's growth concerns. That scares me. Well, there's policy uncertainty, right? Lots of the tariff talk and all that. We haven't talked about that for years, so people are a little anxious about that. You know, the big tech companies are struggling. That's what they say they're struggling. But, you know, there's competition out there now for AI. And, of course, that's going to be a little bit dramatic about, you know, how is our companies doing versus the rest of the world. The earnings are coming out on companies now pretty soon, like Target and Walmart and these companies, to say, oh, are people spending? Because you remember in December, everybody was spending with the holiday and they were spending more than they had spent before. And so there's a lot of unrest. But for you and I, Bruce, we've done this for decades and there's always been something. I mean, I don't think we have been able to relax all of the decades we've done this job, because we can't predict the future. We can try to figure out what's going to happen next, but it's always, always going to come back to your financial plan, your asset allocation. And most people are dramatic out there. When I just read all the things that are happening right now, they want to take it all and take it out. There isn't, oh, am I in the right percentage? If I have 60% growth and 40% fixed, you know, we get the comment, well, just take it all out. That's how I feel right now. Well, okay, but are you going to utilize 100% of your money to create paychecks or, you know, meet your goals? Does that matter? Or you're trying to save? Does everybody remember that the last 5 years, the S&P 500 has earned 80%? I mean, 80%. And so sometimes when you win that big, there's pullback that might happen. And this year, I think, will be rocky. I think there's a lot going on. I think, you know, we're looking at the future and we're hoping that some of the things that are mentioned, that maybe we could stop you know, the trillions of debt that we have out there, they're working on it. So I would say I'd have to look deeper into this caller or texter's information, but it's 100% of the time I'm not going to tell anyone to go all in safe or fixed first.
Yeah, and again, not to beat this horse to death, but we talk about this a lot, but it bears repeating. Your plan should have short-term money, mid-term money, and long-term money. Now, the older you are, the less long-term money you need. And long-term money is usually your more aggressive money, right? Your money that's exposed to stocks. So naturally, as you get older, there's going to be less than that. But I wouldn't go out and make wholesale changes right now just because of potential policy decisions by this administration. The official position at Wealth Enhancement Group kind of is that we are cautiously optimistic and expect this year that there will be growth. Now, there will be disruptions. We know that. Some of them are expected. Some of them might be unexpected. But as it sits right now with the tariffs and the policy, our opinion is that this is not going to cause deterioration to the markets or to the our current economic situation. But we'll continue to monitor. And if we have a change of heart, we'll say so. We'll tell our clients and we'll talk about it on this show. So we're aware of it. We're watching it. We still, I guess, are cautiously optimistic. And Josh, I don't know. Do we have time for one more, or are we almost out of time?
We got about a minute left.
Can we do one quick?
You know what I want to add?
Okay.
Can I just add one thing to that? People tend to want to get out of the market, and that's easy to do. Here's the problem with that: is when do you get back in? There are no clear signs that say, "Okay, everybody, get back in." So the real loss is not knowing how to get in. It's easy to get out, but it's really, really hard to get back in.
Well, and Josh, I don't think we do have time now. I'll add one more thing to that, Peg. It's easy to get out, but there also are other things to consider. There might be tax considerations. There might be ripple effects. Your IRMA, if you sell a bunch of stocks for a gain, is that going to affect your Medicare Part B premiums in 2 years? So, again, I understand this nervous reaction, but stick to your plan. Stick to your core values. A change in administration does not mean you tear your plan apart and start over again. Josh, now I know we're about out of time. Thanks, buddy.
Indeed we are. If you do have a question, weren't able to have it answered yet on the show today, you can call 1-888-6-ADVICE. You can call that number 24/7 or email your questions to yourmoney@wealthenhancement.com. Make it a great Sunday.